A series of recent polls, though, shows a solid majority against making it easier for illegal immigrants to become legal workers or citizens. 59% in an NBC News Wall Street Journal poll say they oppose allowing immigrants to apply for legal temporary worker status. Three-quarters in a Time magazine poll say not enough is being done along U.S. borders to keep illegal immigrants out of the U.S. North Korea again today warning the U.S. of grave consequences over a military exercise in South Korea. The North considers the annual drill between the American and South Korean militaries as a rehearsal for an invasion. But the U.S. and South Korea says the week-long drill is only for defense purposes. Researchers say they may be close to developing a pill that people could take to avoid getting HIV. The drug combination already being used to treat some infections, they say, is showing promise in keeping monkeys from being infected with HIV. Some tests already run in Thailand and Botswana, San Francisco and Atlanta. Officials say they're now ready to expand the tests to healthy people around the world. Sandra Day O'Connor returned to the Supreme Court today to say goodbye. The retired justice sat in a reserved section to hear Justice John Paul Stevens read the farewell letter Chief Justice William Rehnquist wrote to O'Connor just before his death. Rehnquist wrote that O'Connor's decision to leave the bench brought, quote, a sense of loss to every justice. And in the letter he told O'Connor she left her mark on every major field of the court's jurisprudence. O'Connor wrote her own letter to her former colleagues thanking them for their goodwill. This is Air America Radio News.
5.5 years, he thought it might be time to return to private life. And this past weekend, I accepted Andy's resignation.
Doesn't that sound like a mafia don talking about somebody who wants to retire? Only if you want to retire in the Soprano family, you retire by hanging yourself. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. I want you to remember what my good friend Janine Garofalo has said. Liberals create a moral universe. Conservatives dismantle it. I don't know why I want you to remember that. I just do. We're going to be joined in about 25 minutes by a good friend of mine who is running for Congress in Michigan's 9th District. That would be Nancy Skinner. A lot of you know Nancy as a talk show host from Chicago and then Detroit. I know her that way, but also know her as a friend from about what, Kathy, about a decade now? So she'll be joining us. She's running in Michigan's 9th against one of these filthy, swinish Republicans. Somebody sent this to me. Excuse me. It's attributed to Robin Williams. What happens when Bush takes Viagra? 3, 2, 1. He gets taller. Oh, I know. You all have heard that. I'm kind of out of the loop. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, for Christ's sake. I live in a state where the state legislature now has passed a bill where they're going to teach the Bible to high school students. I've got more about that a little bit later in the program. Why are they going to teach the Bible? Because it has so much to say about history and art and science. Oh, God. Bush has presented the most plausible reason for his impeachment. He has said that it's going to be the next president or the one after that who finally gets us out of Iraq. George W. Bush has decided that he has so much, how does he put it, capital from being a, how does he put it, war president, that he's just going to keep it going. He's going to keep it going. Doesn't make any difference. You know, his approval rating can go to 6. He's blotto. This guy is nuts to begin with, so why should approval rating? It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's like the Mormon Church now that has found out that their prophet Joseph Smith was a damn liar. He made up all this stuff about, oh, yeah, you know, tribe of Israelis came over here, you know, ancient Israelites. I'll get to that tonight, too. I've got a couple of religious stories tonight. But Bush is never one to let facts get in the way. As a matter of fact, facts are pesky little things that George Bush likes to smash, step on, and watch them scurry away out of his sight. But Bush has clarified, as Harvey Wasserman writes in the Free Press, and it's at Common Dreams, Bush has clarified the most vital reason why he must be impeached and removed from office as soon as possible, the slaughter in Iraq, and his clear statement that it will not end while he is in the White House. Bush has made his departure the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Can you imagine? I just wonder what the handful of military, high-ranking military officers in Iraq who are not insane, what they must think when they hear a statement like that. It's my impression that a number of the top-ranked military commanders in Iraq are literally crazy. They are insane. Through the chain of command, U.S. Marines are ordered into an area where they slaughter 16 people in a mosque. Just butcher them. And then at a press conference, a couple hours later, a Marine general sits there and says, it didn't happen. A, it's not a mosque. B, there weren't 16 killed. C, it wasn't Marines. And isn't there a general over there now, or is he stationed someplace else? The one who was in Somalia and said he saw Satan riding a naked horse across the sky or something? I mean, these people are crazy. They are literally insane. Our military has been infected now. Our military is infected with insane people. The Bush cabinet is infected with insane people. This new guy that's taking over Andrew Card. Well, you know, why is Andrew Card quitting? Not that I care. I couldn't give a damn. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. These chumps are interchangeable. But this new guy coming on, the head of the what is he, Kathy? He's the head of the Office of Management and Budget, or you know, like I say, I just don't care. But the new guy is Joshua Bolton, and he has overseen he's overseen the federal debt going up almost another $2 trillion in 34 months. That's $2,000 billion. It's $2,000 billion. Not a billion, not $100 billion, not $500 billion, not $1,000 billion, not $1,500, $2,000 billion in 34 months. So that's the job requirement to be in the Bush administration. Utter and absolute incompetence. Utter and absolute incompetence. Jesus, why don't they make Limbaugh the director of communications? Might as well. But I like what he said. Earlier this month, Andy Card came to me and raised the possibility of stepping down as chief of staff. After 5.5 years, he thought it might be time to return to private life. But Joshua Bolton will be the new White House chief of staff. Bush said Josh is a man with broad experience, having worked on Capitol Hill and Wall Street in the White House staff for nearly 3 years. As director of the Office of Management and Budget, Josh is a creative policy thinker. He's an expert on the budget and our economy. He said this. Bush stood there today at a press conference and said this. And this incompetent ass has driven the country another $2,000 billion into the hole. Go ahead, play Bush saying all this. Go ahead.
Earlier this month, Andy Card came to me and raised the possibility of stepping down as chief of staff. After 5.5 years, he thought it might be time to return to private life. And this past weekend, I accepted Andy's resignation.
Aww.
With me today is Joshua Bolton.
Aww.
Who will be the new White House chief of staff. Josh is a man with broad experience, having worked on Capitol Hill and Wall Street and the White House staff, and for nearly 3 years as a director of the Office of Management and Budget.
Now, I like this next line.
Josh is a creative policy thinker. He's an expert on the budget and our economy.
Oh, yeah.
He's respected by members of Congress from both parties.
Oh, yeah.
He's a strong advocate for effective, accountable management in the federal government.
Effective? Accountable management? George, there's another $2 trillion missing. That's not accountable, effective management. Honest to Christ, it isn't, George. I don't know what to tell you, but Simple Scotty had something to say about it, too.
Yeah, but $2 trillion is lunch money when you got Halliburton ripping off the people of Iraq hand over fist.
I wouldn't call it lunch money, Kathy. I mean, it's $2,000 billion. Which is 2 million million.
How many diapers is that?
That's a lot. Okay, here's we got time now. Okay, go ahead and do this is the quacking quackaroo. He was asked a question today. Does the president think that this move will satisfy the concerns of many Republicans who are calling for a White House shakeup?
After a lot of thought and a lot of discussion, the president. You know, I think the best way to describe it would be reluctantly accepted his resignation. Andy is someone who has had the trust and confidence of the president and the staff and those throughout the administration.
$2 trillion!
There are standing ovations for him today, both in the senior staff meeting as well as at the cabinet meeting.
Standing ovations.
Great job that he has done. But I think Andy recognized that it is time for a change.
Frodo. I want you to get rid of this guy, okay? It's just business.
I mean Fredo. I don't mean Frodo. No. I do mean Frodo. I do.
$2 trillion! Jesus! You want sunshine, shake my life. Then when the red sun appears, the blue moon in your eyes. Yeah.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
Yeah, one of them is Josh Bolton, who ran the country another $2 trillion in debt, or oversaw the running of the country into $2 trillion more in debt, and now is going to take over as the new chief of staff. Bottom line here, I don't care, and neither do you. I doubt if you do. But what the hell is in the news? The more important thing to me, though, is the statement that Bush has made in the past couple of days that this war in Iraq is going to go on as long as he is the president, in spite of the fact that more than 80% of the Iraqi people want the U.S. out now. But as Harvey Wasserman writes, by pledging to prolong the slaughter, Bush endangers both our troops and our national security. The war is destroying the American army. The war recruits and trains hordes of anti-American terrorists. It is dividing and bankrupting our nation. And then Wasserman says, he states the obvious, impeachment and removal have become vitally necessary to preserve whatever defenses the U.S. has left against international terrorism. It's amazing to see the I word being used out there as much as it is now. How long have we been talking about impeachment on this program, Kathy? Since before I was on this program. Since back in the bad old IE America, UAW, psychopath Detroit days, right? Who is that woman that used to run the network? Suzanne, yeah.
She who is not to be named. You've been talking about impeachment since Bush was appointed illegally the first time.
That long. As Harvey Wasserman goes on to write in the Free Press, Bush supporters say that ending the war is a policy decision and not a legal issue. In other words, if you don't like the war, piss on you. Get out of the country then. You know, go somewhere else. To charge Bush with high crimes and misdemeanors, you see, would be just terribly unfair. That would be like charging someone with high crimes and misdemeanors and trying to impeach them for having a little oral sex in the Oval Office or on the rug or in the bathroom or in the stall or behind the sink or wherever Clinton did it. That would never happen, would it? Lying to Congress, lying to the public, taking the country into a war, is that not a violation of Bush's constitutional oath? I think it is. Why isn't anyone talking about this? Mainstream, why is there not a drumbeat? Why is it not the lead editorial every day in the major newspapers? Why is it not the lead story? Today, hi, I'm Bob Schieffer. Tonight we will cover the move to impeach this psychopathic son of a bitch who sits in... Well, I know Bob Schieffer can't say that. But, why isn't Brian Williams today? It was decided to impeach. You know, why not? We know the answer to that. They're purely rhetorical questions. Okay, so to hell with Brian Williams and good old Bob Schieffer. Why are you and I sitting here right now? See, that's what it gets down to. You know it as well as I know it. And I'm tired of kicking my own butt, but that's what it gets down to. You know it. The recent immigrants to this country have been out by the hundreds of thousands over the past, week, 10 days? No let up. Pounding the streets, blowing the whistles. No violence, just demanding to be recognized as human beings. And I don't know, make the case or don't make the case that the presence of hundreds of thousands of people in the streets of America, approaching millions of people in the streets of America on this immigration issue, had an influence, didn't it, on the Senate judiciary? What committee? What committee writes these stupid laws? But it had an effect to the extent that the two amendments were added. I think Feinstein and added one, and I think Durbin added one, which... kind of offset what the House has already passed. The House, which is under the control of the Nazis, the American Nazis, you know, they say to a minister or a priest or just you, you know, if you know somebody's an undocumented worker and you help set their broken arm, or if they're hit in traffic and you run out and put a blanket over them till the ambulance arrives, you can be charged with aiding and abetting what, terrorism or I don't know, illegal humans? Jesus, God in heaven. Ah! Oh, and by the way, I got an email from Bill in San Francisco regarding what we were talking about last night. The United States edited out more than 8,000 crucial pages of Iraq's 12,000-page dossier on weapons. And then the United States passed on a sanitized version to the 10 non-permanent members of the UN Security Council. 8,000. I thought it was 3,000 or 4,000. 8,000 pages of this 12,000-page file that the Hussein government put together to say, look, yeah, we had poison, we had germs, we had nuclear, thanks to Donald Rumsfeld and Ronald Reagan and all you people, but we got rid of it because y'all blew it all up. But all that was snatched out, and what the other permanent, non-permanent members of the UN Security Council were given was what the U.S. wanted them to see. Nice, huh? Migrants has been Nancy Skinner, when we come back. Fight, and we'll fight
until we win. And this is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a five-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Oreck XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
That's awful. 26 before the hour. I first met Nancy Skinner about 8 or 9 years ago in Chicago. We were both working at WLS. Nancy and her partner at the time, her radio partner at the time, Ski Anderson, did some investigative work on Henry Hyde and found out some really ugly stuff. Went on the air with it, all truthful stuff, and was warned by the management of WLS, which was owned by ABC Radio, to stop talking about the issue. They continued to talk about it, and they had half of their work week taken away from them as punishment. So Nancy's been around doing investigative work for some time. That was just one example. I also know Nancy from the standpoint of being a committed progressive. She's not a Democrat who just happened to jump on board last week. The only time Nancy and I ever had a serious argument was over Clinton's use of force in Yugoslavia. What?
Kosovo.
That's right. We were sitting in a bar with our respective spouses one night, and I thought it was going to come to blows. But downtown on the Loop in Chicago, we were sitting there having a drink. I don't know where we had been. I guess we'd been out to dinner, and we were sitting there having a beer, and it just got awfully heated.
What do you expect when you put two talk show hosts in a room who actually, that was, I think, Mike, the only thing we ever disagreed about.
I think that's the truth. Go to our website while we're talking to SkinnerForCongress.com. She's running in Michigan's 9th. And I've said before that over the course of the next few months, we're going to put on candidates, whether it's Steve Sinton here in Georgia or Nancy Skinner in Michigan, or the people we've had on in various congressional districts, people who are committed Democrats. If they have to get through a primary, so be it. They're going after the Democrats who are not committed. If they don't have to get through a primary, then they're going to take on these Republican thugs that now represent these various districts. Nancy is running in Michigan's 9th. Now, one last thing before we start talking. There is an FEC a report due soon that you got to report your money. Nancy needs some contributions, I think, March 31st, which is what, a week from now?
No, it's Friday.
It's Friday. Boy, time rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? So if go to the website and do what you've done for these other candidates that have been on this program and other programs on Air America. Make a contribution. It doesn't matter how small it is. If 1,000 people kick in $10, that's $10,000. So do something. This is what we talk about on Air America. So just do something. Help these candidates that stand for Democratic progressive ideas. Now, what's going on with the campaign, Nancy? A. B. Who are you running against? I'm sorry, I don't know the 9th district in Michigan.
Sure. Well, the great thing about this district is it is a 50-50 district, Mike. Our governor won the district, Governor Granholm, fabulous Democrat, and John Kerry got 49% of the vote here. So how many districts across America are 50-50 with me in the race? They encouraged me. I was the morning host at our local affiliate where you are heard in Detroit, which is 1310 AM WDTW in Detroit for the last year. So folks know me from that. I've been on radio a long time as well. And as a female running, we have a little bit, I joke and say, it's the only time having ovaries has ever given us a natural advantage at anything, but it does. So a 50-50 district with the woman on the ballot who's got some name recognition and, you know, support Emily's list, and I'm just thrilled to learn this evening that I received the endorsement from the United Auto Workers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're determined to win this seat, and that's why I'm so glad to be on the program to let people know we need 15 seats to take back the House of Representatives. This is a real pickup opportunity, but like you said, you got to get out there and show that you have the support, especially from our community, the networks and grassroots, by raising the money by Friday. So SkinnerForCongress.com is a great way. And plus, you know what? We just did, Mike. We put a video up on the website, and this is what you talk about all the time. And it's a little bit of me. I've done a lot of TV. A lot of people probably know me from all the cable shows I've been doing since 1999, you know, O'Reilly and Hannity, and I'm on a couple times a week. So we took some classic video of me before the war in Iraq on MSNBC co-hosting with Curtis Sliwa saying, what is the connection between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, and what happens when we go in? This is all before the war. And another clip of me saying, okay, are these tax cuts going to explode the budget? I mean, before the budget exploded. And climate change, debating Pat Buchanan, of all people, I was a guest host for Bill Press, saying to Pat Buchanan, and what about climate change, and what are we doing about it? Now, these are all examples why we put them up there, is where we don't have leadership. We have a crisis of leadership. Of course, the Republicans, we know, unmitigated disaster, right? But often, Mike, you and I know this and have lamented that even within our own party, it seems a lack of leadership on these really pressing issues. So we put that video up there. We hope folks go take a look. You will know me when you see that video. You will see that I was out in front of the issue, like you mentioned on WLS, not afraid to speak out. And that's what more of us need to do.
Well, you know, this brings up another issue, and I don't know how the people might consider this to be superfluous or not, but the fact that you have been in media, you've done media work for 10-15 years, is critically important, because I don't think people understand this as much. Well, maybe they do. When you work in media, when you work in not necessarily talk radio, but when you're on camera, when you're in a debating situation with people that are out to gut you, you have to be able to think quickly. You have to have your facts. You have to understand the issues. And excuse me. I think that is extremely important. People have gotten, now I've got nothing against college professors running for office or former military officers running for office. God bless them. Go for it. But when you take somebody like you who has studied the issues, who understands the issues, who knows some of the subtleties of the issues, that a lot of folk who don't have the time. I mean, you were in this business. You were in a talk radio and media work and writing and so on and forth, so on and so forth. You have to understand the issues to a much greater degree. And that's not a put down to anybody else. I've said before on this program, that's one of the downsides of being in talk radio, is I have to know all this stuff, and it just really poisons my mind sometimes. But when you're running for office, I think this is definitely a plus for you.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the funny thing is, Mike, sometimes the powers that be look at you and say, oh, radio talk show host, which I laugh at, because the reason you and I did what we did is because our voices weren't being heard, and the Democrats were getting hurt as a result, because the misinformation that was being spread. We understand how things are spun. You have to know everything, as you say, from foreign policy to budget matters, you name it, and you can't be wrong. So I think our training is really the best training, but it's often sort of funny how people say radio talk show host as if, you know, that it should be an asset, like you said.
Well, I think from the progressive side, it is definitely an asset. I do believe it is. Talk to this audience that I'm hoping will be sending money via PayPal to your website even as we speak. But talk to this audience about your position, and just start wherever you want. I can go down a list, but I'm not going to do it. Just give us an overview of where you stand on these issues that are just so damn critical right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, before I get to that, I didn't answer your question about who I'm running against. The incumbent in this district is a 7-term incumbent named Joe Nolenberg. And it's funny, his original plank was term limits.
He just didn't say how many.
Exactly. Well, he kept expanding the definition.
Right, right.
And so he's been there a long time. He's 73 years old. And he's,
well, bless his heart. Yeah. I love 73-year-old people. I think they should be doing things, you know, working in the garden, hanging out with the grandkids, maybe doing a little investment banking. But get the hell out of D.C.
Or like Donald Rumsfeld, right?
Oh, God.
Running the Pentagon.
Yeah, please don't go there. All right, so he's your opponent.
Right. Now, and he, all of a sudden, you know how to best identify him. You know the Bridges to Nowhere, the huge pork bill, the transportation bill?
Yes, in Alaska, right.
Right, Bridges to Nowhere, the biggest boondoggle we've had. That was his bill, okay? He's the chairman of that transportation subcommittee of appropriations.
Oh,
that was his
God.
Bill.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
And so he got a little bit of, for the first time, a little bit of bad press, because in January, it turned out he went on a fact-finding mission to Hawaii with his wife on an all-expense-paid trip by the airport executives. They had one of those critical missions. And so it was in the papers, you know, that he was over there in the midst of all these investigations going on, that you would go there. But worse, Mike, this is in the New York Times on December 11th, a big article. You know, as much as the Republicans hate Amtrak, right?
He
put an $8.3 million earmark in Amtrak's budget to force them to carry around fruits and vegetables in premium cars. And they don't want to do it because they lose money. Well, it only, the recipient went to one company who happened to be his second largest donor.
Oh, gee, there's a surprise.
Yeah. And
oh
when
my
the New York
God.
Times printed the story, he decided that it just didn't smell right, pardon the pun, and he repealed the earmark after the story had been.
Yeah, well, I when they're caught, sometimes they all of a sudden they jump back and say, oh, my God, what are you going to do for the 9th District that this guy, other than the fraud and corruption and graft that he's obviously involved in, that's me saying that, not you, but what are you going to do for the 9th that Nolenberg is not doing?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if you've been seeing the headlines coming from Detroit. They called it Black Tuesday today.
Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
All right, you know how this works.
Yep.
We got to die. I'm sorry to jump on your tongue, but we got to take a quick break. We're talking with Nancy Skinner, who's running for Congress in Michigan's 9th. We're going to pick up the conversation in just a second. Go to our website, skinnerforcongress.com. Check it out. There's a little thing there where you can make contributions. You know what this is about. We don't bring these people on just to chat. We're talking to viable, democratic, progressive candidates who can tilt the balance in favor of responsible government again. And Skinner happens to be one. Go to the website, please. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom, even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. We'll be right back.
Patreon speakers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. We're talking with Nancy Skinner, candidate, Democratic progressive candidate from Michigan's 9th District, running against the 7-turn incumbent. Go to her website, please, Nancy Skinner, or I'm sorry, skinnerforcongress.com, and make a contribution. Now, we're trying to talk for a second there, Nancy, about what did you refer to, Black Tuesday?
That's what they're calling it today, Black Tuesday.
Okay, what happened?
Another round of layoffs at GM, this time among the ranks of the white-collar engineers. But, of course, they lost $10 billion last year, as you know, and they've announced 30,000 layoffs, Ford 20,000 layoffs. Delphi, the biggest auto supplier, is in bankruptcy right now. It's like a slow-motion Katrina here, Mike, that people aren't paying attention to because it's not that visible as Katrina was, but the ripple effect is astonishing. The real estate market, nothing has moved, and so the rest of the country is picking up a little steam. It's just a disaster here. So when you ask what I would do for the 9th District, I think the key is this. The automakers admittedly made a lot of bad moves in fighting innovation and fighting fuel efficiency standards and that for so many years because we had these huge SUVs when gas hit $3 a gallon, right? That's why the sales tanked off. But the key is they have to move up that technology ladder really quickly and produce the vehicles like hybrid vehicles, other flex fuel vehicles and fuel cell vehicles so that as we continue to hit these oil crises walls with China and India increasing their consumption by 40% in the next 15 years, that we will be able to produce the cars that the world will demand. And right now there's not enough market for it, so my major focus of my campaign is to fight for tax credits for hybrids that equalize the cost of a hybrid vehicle with a regular engine.
Then I get the impression also that probably one of the main focuses that you're going to have is the economic situation in Michigan. I think most people understand that while Michigan is certainly not a basket case like some states, there's an awful lot of crisis mentality that's rippling through the state because of, one example is what you just described.
Right, and it's not just any other business, the auto industry. It's what gave us the great middle class and essentially made America a superpower. And so we can't just say, President Bush came here not too long ago and said to our governor, hey, we can't help you. We can't make your companies profitable. No, but you know what? We can't just cede the auto industry to China. China's going to start making $10,000 cars, and they're importing them in 2007. What is going to happen to us, our national economy, our GDP, because of the auto industry and all the technology and the manufacturing base, it's part of this larger issue of globalization. We're ground zero for what globalization is doing. And a lot of it is just really stupid trade deals, Mike. For instance, let me give you one example. On vehicles, when we sell a car to China, the tariff is 25% into China.
Right.
When they sell one here, it's 2.5%. Now, Senator Levin has said, I want the name of the trade negotiator that made it 10 times more expensive for us to sell a car to China as China here.
I'll bet he was a Republican.
I'll bet you any money. Yep, you better believe it.
Oh, my God.
So that's the kind of thing. So hybrids, that's a win-win-win here, something that it's good for the economy. Half of our oil consumption comes from our vehicles. Half. So when President Bush says, we got to end our addiction to oil and does nothing about it. This is the solution. And, of course, climate change is something I've been talking about for a long, years, Mike. I always bring up climate change. Now on the cover of Time magazine, they're saying, we may have reached a tipping point. It was about leadership. I always go back to this thing, crisis of leadership on these important issues. And so I think that this is good, not only for my district, the 9th, to help our automakers, but they need to move up the technology learning curve for the whole country and for the sake of our national security and our environment.
We have just a very little time left. You've got to represent your district, but when you're elected, but you also have to represent the American people. And I hope to God, you and I have had so many discussions over so many late night conversations, either at your house in Chicago or our house in Chicago. I just hope to hell, Nancy, that when you are elected, that you'll do whatever it takes to try to get this country, as one of 435 members of Congress, try to get this country back on track. I understand the members of the House have got to work for their district, but you've also got to work for the country. I guess you agree with that.
That's why I'm doing it. You know, yeah. It's not an easy, I'll tell you, I've never worked harder, and I was a morning drive host for the last 5 years.
Right.
But, you know, I that's why I'm doing it. I can't imagine a more critical juncture in our history, Mike, and it really, it's going to take people, more people like me that aren't going to be afraid when they get there to do what's right and to lead, and whatever happens, happens. You know, Russ Feingold, he shows great leadership. He was the only guy to vote against the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
We need more of us in there, and that's why I need, I've been out there for you all, like, being that brave voice, right? Now I need some help.
Absolutely.
In terms of the contributions so that we can put together the campaign we need with all these national groups who are on our side, who Emily's List and the DCCC are all watching this race right as we speak. So help me, please.
All right. Oh, by the way, Nancy's parents are Chuck and Anna. How are they doing? Very quickly, we have 10 seconds.
Mom and Dad are great. They're listening. Probably at SkinnerForCongress.com.
SkinnerForCongress.com. Check it out. Nancy, we'll talk again. Take care.
Thanks,
best of
Mike.
Luck. All right?
Okay.
All right. We'll be back after the break. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Soon-to-be former White House Chief of Staff Andy Card will be forgotten more quickly than most Bush administration insiders. Though technically he's been in charge of managing the Bush White House, he never really did so. Instead, he allowed Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, and Karl Rove to forge a presidency of their own making, while George W. Bush vacationed, exercised, and sleepwalked through history. The truth is that Andy Card will be best remembered for his one starring role, that moment when he walked into the camera angle and whispered, at that highlight point in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, to the President of the United States that the country was under attack, and George W. Bush did nothing. For more on how Andy Card failed his president and failed his country, visit thenation.com. This is John Nichols for Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's
Bill Crowley, two lawmakers just back from Iraq contradict the upbeat message George Bush has been delivering about progress in Iraq. After a cabinet meeting today, Bush again said he's hearing of steady progress from people on the ground in Iraq. But Democrat Tom Udall says the security situation in the so-called Sunni Triangle is bad, describing it as an area of piracy. The New Mexico congressman says it's clear more pressure has to be put on Iraqi security forces to stand up and defend their country. And Republican Senator John McCain says he's trying to share Bush's optimism, but he says progress is, quote, very slow and very long and very tough. McCain says there's tough sledding ahead, but McCain says he remains very much against pulling out any U.S. troops right now. With his poll numbers falling, George Bush was urged to shake up his senior White House staff, and now he has. He announced today that Chief of Staff Andy Card is resigning to be replaced by Budget Director Josh Bolton. The White House not ruling out additional changes either. One critic on Capitol Hill says today's move amounts to, quote, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Senator Charles Schumer says the administration, in his words, has finally realized it needs to change its ways. The New York Democrat also said White House policy problems go deeper than just the Chief of Staff. The Bush administration did not find a friendly ear at the Supreme Court today over its plan to try foreigners before special military panels. The High Court today heard an appeal of a plan to hold a special trial for Osama bin Laden's former driver. During oral arguments, the justice sharply questioned the plan. Justice Stephen Breyer wanted to know what would stop the government from holding the same sort of trial in Toledo, Ohio, not just Guantanamo Bay. Some justices deeply concerned. The administration claims a new federal law bans the High Court from ruling in the case. More than a million people protested in France today against the new labor law. Police estimate more than 1 million set out in force in a nationwide strike against the new law that would make it easier to fire young people. Riot police in Paris used water cannon and tear gas to fight off several thousand young people who moved against them after a largely peaceful march. There were also smaller incidents in other towns in France. It was the biggest nationwide protest yet against the measure France's prime minister says will entice more employers to hire young people so they can fire them. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Regarding Andy Card leaving the White House, Prairie 2 sent me an email and said, "Hey, Mike, in the office spool on Andy Card, I'll take the square that says he'll be sharing a cell with Irving Libby. Does anybody leave the White House any other way?" Well, I wish that were true, Prairie 2, but what usually happens is when high crimes and misdemeanors are committed by the president and there are people around to take the fall, those people usually get pardoned by the president. Or in the case of Nixon, pardoned by the presidential appointee. Which brings me to Caspar Weinberger. Another Republican mass killer stepped into the abyss today. Caspar Weinberger died. And as I said at the website, I don't know who said it, you shouldn't speak ill of the dead. And my answer to that is always, why not? You can't speak ill of some of these people where it has any effect while they're alive. When they finally do leave this earthly coil, isn't the planet a little bit cleaner because of their passing? I know that sounds harsh, but Caspar Weinberger was one of those people who was involved in the mass slaughter of, well, no one really knows how many innocent people in the Middle East and in Central America. He was just a world-class killer who operated with other world-class killers like Elliot Abrams and Negroponte and Otto Reich and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Pappy Bush and the rest of these people. So, and not only that, but as Secretary of Defense for Ronald Reagan, he was a vigorous advocate, I guess would be the way to put it, insisted on sending the country deeper and deeper and deeper into debt in an arms race that the Russians wanted no part of. I mean, by that time, the Russians were, their whole economy was collapsing. Now, I know the received wisdom is that Ronald Reagan was the one who won the Cold War, and if you want to believe that, go ahead. You know, you also probably believe in the talking snake theory of creation, so have at it. I really don't care. But Weinberger was one of those people who oversaw the massive buildup of the U.S. military that wound up tripling the national debt. He was a great advocate of more nuclear weapons. He was a strong advocate of the Strategic Defense Initiative, you know, Star Wars, which was an aggressive weapon. It was not a defensive weapon. Had the science been available, and it still isn't, to put such a fantasy into effect, it would have certainly triggered a nuclear holocaust on this planet, because what little strength the Russians still had left was not going to be thrown away at the expense of the Americans building a weapon that could eliminate the Soviet Union in about 13 seconds. So Caspar Weinberger was a warmonger and a dealer in death of the highest order in this country. There have been very few equal to him. Now, he also participated in the transfer of TOW missiles to Iran during the Iran-Contra affair, so-called, back in the mid-80s. The idea behind this was these hypocritical sons of bitches in the Reagan administration who publicly said we don't deal with terrorists or hostage takers. Of course they did. Of course they did. Oliver North was in this up to his eyeballs. John Poindexter, who is embedded somewhere deep in the Bush administration now. Elliot Abrams, also embedded deep in the administration. Otto Reich, Bolton, Poindexter, all these people, Negroponte, all these people who were instrumental in the 80s of lying, deceiving Congress and the American people, doing anything they could to get their hands on money and weapons so they could destabilize all of Central America. And as a result, 200,000 people died in Central America. Who died? Soldiers? No. Hell no. Civilians. So-called peasants, farmers, social workers, priests, nuns. And with the nuns, a favorite tactic of Negroponte was to train the death squads to first rape the nuns and then kill them. Much more effective that way in the superstitious atmosphere that was created in the hills, you know, by the Catholic Church in the hills of Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua and on and on and on and on. So, you know, when I heard today that that Weinberger had stepped into the abyss. I didn't cheer. I don't celebrate anybody's death, because especially someone who escaped the hangman's noose the way this bastard did. I don't celebrate their death at all. I just bemoan the fact that they weren't brought to justice. Because, you know, there certainly is no bringing to justice once someone dies. But this is the guy also, remember, that George Herbert Walker Bush, in that infamous December 24th, New Year's Eve, 1992, Herbert Walker had already been defeated by Bill Clinton. He'd already been defeated. And he pardoned five or six of the people related to the Iran-Contra affair. A couple of them had already pled guilty. A couple had been indicted. Elliot Abrams, the former Assistant Secretary of State for Inter-American Affairs, former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane, Dwayne Claridge, Alan Fires, and Claire George, all CIA killers, contract killers, whose job it was to go in various countries and murder people or set up organizations that would murder people. Weinberger had been charged by the independent counsel, a Republican named Lawrence Walsh, with four counts of lying to congressional Iran-Contra investigators in 1984. He pled not guilty, said he was being unfairly prosecuted like these murderers always do. And it was unusual that Weinberger was pardoned before trial or conviction. The best-known precedent for that was Gerald Ford's pardon of Nixon, who was never indicted. Herbert Walker Bush said he was pardoning Weinberger, the pardon represented, quote, what I believe is a profoundly troubling development in the political and legal climate of our country, the criminalization of policy differences, unquote, as if mass murder was a policy difference. This is what these right-wing sons of bitches always say. This is what Hitler said. This is what Stalin said, what Mao said, what Franco said, what Tojo said, what Mussolini said. Every single killer, mass government-sponsored murderer, has always used that, right? Right? Well, this is just politics. Boy, it's a shame that things have been criminalized to this extent. So in a single stroke, Bush eliminated one conviction, three guilty pleas, and two pending cases. And as David Johnston wrote at for the New York Times way back in 1992, in doing that, Senior Bush virtually decapitated what was left of Lawrence Walsh's investigation, which we began way back in 1986. And as a result of that, you know, the American public, that's you and me, unless we do our own research, which, trust me on this one, I really did my own research, the American public has no idea what Weinberger and Abrams and Herbert Walker Bush and McFarlane and Negroponte and Poindexter, what these people had done. Just no idea. You can give a little information, do a Google, just put in Iran-Contra and see what you come up with and follow all the links. But these people were just, they were absolute killers. And this was during the 80s when the American public, we were struggling to come out of the Reagan recession. Do you remember? Do you remember interest rates in the double digits? Do you remember unemployment in the double digits? Do you remember? And they tried to blame it on Jimmy Carter, for God's sake. Nobody was paying attention, but the vicious, hate-filled, war-loving killers who always cluster around a Bush. It doesn't make any difference if it's Nazis from World War II or right-wing thugs in the mid-80s in this country or even now. It makes no difference. If you look historically at the Bush family, they are a nexus for some of the most vicious, violent people ever to operate in the U.S. government. And it just happens over and over again. They are extremely adept and adroit at hiding it, at covering up, hiding behind the Bible, hiding behind Jesus, hiding behind the Constitution, hiding behind the flag. But they are murderous sons of bitches, and it just seems like nothing can stop them except death. So Weinberger, have a great eternity.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Your host for a Pience Friance future, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Hey, if you're not doing anything, go to Nancy Skinner's website, skinnerforcongress.com, and drop a couple of bucks on her. She's a Democrat. Here in Georgia, here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, the legislature here yesterday passed a bill. They're going to spend money to fund elective, Bible courses in public high schools. Now, First Amendment advocates or people who or atheists or agnostics or just people who think this is nonsense, you know, find this a little unsettling. But here in Georgia, you see, this is necessary because a lot of people in the state of Georgia, right wingers, believe that children are losing their grasp on one of Western civilization's most influential texts. That's what they call the Bible down here. One of Western civilization's most influential texts. Well, I guess in a literal sense, that's probably true. It just doesn't mention the degree of pain and suffering that influence has brought to just millions of people around the globe. So, you know, maybe the statement is true, but it's true, I think, in the sense that these folks in Georgia want it to be true. Now, the bill that our governor down here, Sonny Perdue, is going to sign would fund separate high school courses on the Old and the New Testament in the context of history and literature. What? History? Are they going to talk about Lot's daughters boinking him so they can get pregnant? Are they going to talk about Noah screwing his daughter? What are they going to talk about? Are they going to talk about Joshua crossing into the Promised Land and murdering every single Canaanite in their sleep, including the babies? What are they going to... This is not history! This is not history! They're going to talk about a pillar of salt? Oh, that's a good one. And the parting of the Red Sea and the angel of death coming down and swooping over Egypt and I know it's a big holiday now. Well, so is Christmas. That doesn't make it real. If they're going to teach this stuff, why not teach it in the context? Oh, I don't know. How about Greek mythology, Christian mythology, Jewish mythology, Hindu mythology, with the emphasis on myth? Or superstition, if you really want to go there. But they're going to be teaching this stuff as history and literature? With the exception of the Song of Solomon, okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you Solomon. I'll give you a little bit of David. But beyond that, literature? What literature? What?
There's really nothing to worry about here. I mean, in Georgia, no one's taught history actually effectively for 50 years, so it really doesn't matter.
Well, that's probably true.
Nobody knows anything here except, you know, the South lost. That's the extent of the history.
This bill states that the classes they're talking about should be taught, quote, in an objective and non-devotional manner. Now, Answer me, please, True Seeker. Will anyone tell me how you teach religious mythology objectively? What the hell does that mean? And non-devotional manner, it goes on to say, with no attempt made to indoctrinate students as to either the truth or falsity of the works. Oh, stop it! Stop it! They're going to say, okay, now listen up. When Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives or wherever it was, and he had 6 fish and 4 loaves of bread, and he fed 87 million people or whatever it is, and they're not going to say that really happened. What are they going to say? It's up to you, students, to decide if that is truth or insanity. Is that what they're going to do?
Yeah, just like they teach evolution. It's up to you to decide whether or not, you know, man evolved from lower life forms.
The Republican state senator who sponsored the bill was quoted in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that the Bible is crucial to understanding the foundations of American government. What? How is it? What? These old tribes that used to wander around in the Middle East, talking, seeing pillars of fire and food falling out of the sky? That has something to do with the foundations of American government? What? They had elections? Let's get together and elect a Messiah. What are they talking about, the foundations of American government? Oh, my God! I don't know how to handle this. I really don't care. I will never allow my child to set foot, if we're still living here, in a Georgia public school, ever. If I have to sell everything I own to get tuition to send Molly to a private school, probably one run by the Quakers, I'll do it.
Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love that neighbor if that neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus' land. W's America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
state religion. That's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
Oh, shut up. Now, it's not just the Southern Baptist crazies down here. I don't know if any of you have been following the story about what has happened to the Mormon Church. Are you aware of this? This was in the L.A. Times, February 16th, about a month ago. And one of the foundations of the Mormon Church, of course, is that that Native Americans, indigenous tribes in this country before white people got here, were descended from a lost tribe of Israel that reached the so-called New World more than 2,000 years ago. And that Native American peoples were actually Hebrews. They were of the Hebrew lineage. And now, according to Mormon teaching, all this was revealed to 22-year-old Joseph Smith in the early 19th century. What happened was an angel named Moroni. That's right, led Joseph Smith to a set of golden plates that were buried in a hillside. And then God gave this 22-year-old a pair of glasses and what were called seer stones, like Rosetta stones, that allowed Joseph to translate what was called the Reformed Egyptian writings on these golden plates, and it became the Book of Mormon, or another testament of Jesus Christ. Now, Mormons believe, of course, that these scriptures were first of all divinely written and inspired, and that the discovery of these scriptures restored the Christian church to God's original vision and left the rest of Christianity in a state of apostasy. They always do that, don't they? I mean, Catholics would tell you that the Protestants are damned, and the Protestants would tell you the Catholics are damned, and the Mormons would tell you that everybody's damned. But and the Jews and the Muslims, and the, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. Now, the Book of Mormon. And I must tell you, I have a Book of Mormon at home. I've read the Book of Mormon, not the whole thing. I've read the Holy Quran, not the whole thing, but I've read it, and I understand what is being taught. But the narrative in the Book of Mormon is that it focuses on a tribe of Jews who sailed from Jerusalem to the so-called New World in 600 BC and split when they got here into two main warring factions. Now, there was the good guys, the Nephites. They were pure. Now, prior to 1981, they were called white. Then in 1981, the church changed the word from white to pure. But anyway, the God-fearing Nephites were white and delightsome. The other ones, the Lamanites, were idol-worshipping, and they were black. Wow. As a matter of fact, they had received the curse of blackness, which turned their skin dark. So you had this bunch of Hebrews that came to the New World. Stay with me. And when they got here, they separated into two sub-tribes. One of them immediately turned black because they worshipped idols. The other ones got white because they worshipped God or something like that. All right? Now, according to the keep if you continue, according to the Book of Mormon, by the year 385 CE or AD, the dark-skinned Lamanites had wiped out the light-skinned Nephites, wiped out the other Hebrews. And the Mormon Church then called these victors, quote, the principal ancestors of the American Indians, end quote. Now, if the Lamanites returned to the church, their skin would once again become white. I'm not making this up. Now, over the years, church prophets, who of course are believed by Mormons to get their revelations from God, who was it? Ezra Taft Benson, who was Eisenhower's Secretary of Agriculture, was a church prophet, a Mormon church prophet, and, you know, he'd get done with the day of trying to run Republican farm policy back in the 50s and go sit down and have a glass of beer with God, I guess. I don't know. That's what they believe. Not a glass of beer. Okay, a cup of tea. But the Mormon missionaries used this supposed ancestral link between the ancient Hebrews and the Native Americans and later Polynesians as a prime conversion tool in Central and South America and the South Pacific. You know, they used to go and tell these dark-skinned people, you want to turn white? Here's what you have to do to turn white. And once you turn white, then you get all the good stuff that white people get. And the only reason you're dark is because you're descended from a subdivision of a tribe that got all nasty and hateful and killed the white people and blah, 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 on and on and on. Now, critics of the Book of Mormon have long talked about anachronisms in the narrative to argue that it's not the work of God. They need anachronisms, I guess. For instance, the Mormon scriptures contain references to a seven-day week. Domesticated horses and cows and sheep and silk and chariots and steel. But, of course, none of that had been introduced in the so-called New World at the time of Christ. But never mind. Religion is not about science. Religion is about superstition and magic. Well, the DNA, the science of DNA, the reality of DNA has interrupted all this, you see, because a former church elder, who is also a scientist, decided to check some of this stuff out. And, you're way ahead of me, right? He did some DNA research, and he found what most people could pretty much guess, that there is no DNA connection between any so-called Native American with any so-called Hebrew. There is none. It does not exist. Not only does it not exist, the DNA evidence shows that the ancestors of American natives came from Asia, not Jerusalem, not the Middle East. Now, for Mormons, this collapse of one of the founding principles of their religion doesn't mean anything, not a thing. They just say, well, you know, this is just just people are attacking our religion who are trying to weaken us. It really doesn't mean anything. DNA is just hocus pocus anyway. It doesn't mean anything. We know who we are. We know. Matter of fact, officially, the Mormon Church says that nothing in the Mormon scriptures is incompatible with DNA evidence, and that the genetic studies are being twisted to, are you ready, attack the church. And excuse me, this DNA debate about the Mormons and the Hebrews and the Native Americans and the Mephonites and the Hubidites and the ones that turn black and the ones that turn white and the ones that go pink and the ones that get purple, you know, it all of the debate is apparently largely limited to church leaders, academics, and a relatively small circle of critics of the Mormon Church, because most Mormons have been taught that obedience is absolutely required. If you are not obedient to the elders and the teachings of the church, your ass and the rest of you is doomed. And that the Book of Mormon is God's inerring word. Now, who else says that? Oh, that's right. The Muslims say the same thing, don't they? And who else says that? Oh, that's right. The fundamentalist Christians say the same thing, don't they? The Jews, on the other hand, you get five rabbis in a room together, and they'll sit there for the next 200 years arguing about little point. Well, no, God meant this. No, he meant this. No, he meant that. No, I think it's this. No, I think it's that. Which is one of the reasons why it seems to me that Judaism probably, if you're going to get all crazy about monotheism, which to me is another form of insanity, that Judaism is probably the way to go. Because, you know, at least they sit down and debate it, discuss it, you know, to the Jews. As far as I know, I don't know. I guess some of the, like the Lubavitchers and some of these real far-out right-wing sects of Judaism believe that stuff is cast in stone. But it's been my understanding that most rabbis will sit down and discuss things and say, no, it's like this. Well, no, I think, no, this will, look where the comma is. You know, well, no, see the colon, this is capital letter, you know, and on and on. on and on and on. And as far as I know a lot of Jews, and none of them has ever, not one has ever said to me, well, if you don't believe this, you're going to burn in hell. Yes?
So George is going to start teaching the Bible. Is that what you said?
Oh, that's what I said. That's what I said. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Kathy yanks my chain and pulls me back. All right, okay. It's just that the insanity of it, I can't, you know, I'm not saying everybody should go pure science. You know, find a nice, happy path. I think the hippies had it back in the 60s. You know, spiritual, kiss somebody, smoke a joint, find God in a rainbow. You know, I mean, just think of the murder and the mayhem and the chaos and the destruction and the arguments and the, and I'm going to kill you. My God's better than your God. Your God doesn't even exist. I'll cut your head off for saying that. Isn't it enough? Oh, man, I know I'm doing church tonight. I'm sorry. It's over. When we come back, phone calls and then a regular talk radio show, I guess. It was in the papers in the L.A. Times. What do you want me to do?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No doubt about it, the internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the internet, too. Isn't it time the internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at Geico.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. I've got two quick sound bites from Rumsfeld, his speech at the Army War College in Carlisle, PA, yesterday. Just two quickies. If you want to understand how bad it really is, the U.S. involvement in Iraq, then you have to consider that when even the psycho killer Rummy himself gives the U.S. military a grade of D in the winning of the hearts and minds, where have we heard that before, of the people of Iraq, you know we're up to something, we're up to our chins in something, and it ain't buttercups, truth seeker. Didn't Chucklenut say that the Iraqi troops were surrendering gleefully shortly after the invasion, and the Iraqi people were pleased as pomegranates that we were there to liberate them? What happened to that? Anyway, there's this murderous old bastard Rumsfeld standing there after the speech. One of the troops at one of the officers at the Army War College asked a question. Here's the question. Sir, the defense strategy QDR, that's the Quadrennial Defense Review, talks about the war on terror having a significant component as a war of ideology. Sir, what do you think we're doing well with respect to the war of ideology? And what do you think we could do better? Sir!
After a lot of thought and a lot of
discussion. No, that's not Rumsfeld. That's somebody else.
I would, if I were grading, I would say we probably deserve a D or a D plus as a country as to how well we're doing in the battle of ideas that's taking place in the world today.
Battle of ideas?
And I'm not going to suggest that it's easy, but we have not found the formula as a country.
What the hell is he talking about? This son of a bitch has committed to the grave 2,300 Americans officially, probably thousands more, and tens of thousands of Iraqis, and he stands there and says, I'm not going to suggest that it's easy, but we've not found the formula. Some of you people wonder why I get so pissed off every night, huh? Yeah, Malloy has... Well, Malloy screams. That's why we don't listen to him anymore. He's a psychopathic son of a bitch himself. He's just over the top. Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, you go ahead and pretend that things are normal with this sick bastard heading the Defense Department. Go ahead. Enjoy it. Now, in answering a question about how long U.S. troops will be in Iraq, Rumsfeld drops a little bit more of the brown acid, you know, the part that you're not supposed to take, and talks about quick cooking microwave ovens. No, you didn't mishear me. He's asked it. Well, here's the question.
Mr. Secretary, sir! You spent a little time in your speeches talking about urging the American people to have patience with this current war in Iraq. Sir, how long should the American people expect U.S. troops to be fighting in Iraq? Sir! Is there a limit to the amount of time you are willing to give the Iraqis to really stand up? Sir!
I do think that it takes patience. They're tough. And today we're living, someone driving over, I think Bill Schuster said something, we're living in the microwave age, where you expect everything to be cooked in about 30 seconds.
Jesus.
And the world isn't like that. How long, the president has said, it depends on conditions on the ground. I think that the progress that the Iraqi security forces are making is excellent.
The progress? What progress? You acid-eating old fart? What progress are you referring to?
There's not a single Iraqi unit capable of sustaining itself in a combat situation. Not one. Not a patrol, not a battalion, not a regiment, nothing, nothing.
Oh, my God. Microwave age, where we expect everything to be cooked in 30 seconds? What the hell does that mean? That's like when he talks about, well, supposing we get attacked by the moon. You know, the moon.
And if the moon attacks, you know, we've got to respond, don't we? Huh? Because, you know, we always thought it was cheese. There are known knowns. There are known unknown knowns. There are unknown knowables. I have something stuck in the crack of my hiney. That's why I'm talking this way.
We're living in the microwave age where we expect everything to be cooked in 30 seconds. Is that the rationale now for unending death and destruction in Iraq? Is that what it's come down to? Let's see. Weapons of mass destruction, check. Threat to his neighbors, check. A haven for terrorists, check. We're living in a microwave age, check. Freedom of democracy, check. I'm a psychopathic mass killer, check. I do really bad drugs and have these press conferences, check, where I beat on the podium, check. This is the United States Secretary of Defense. Think about some of the great Secretaries of Defense that we've... Think about... Oh, Jesus, can't do that, can we? What do we come up with? McNamara? Weinberger? Well, Weinberger's dead, and McNamara is close. We'll be back. I'm Mike Molloy.
On Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Molloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Oreck Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it. Free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The Federal Reserve hiked interest rates again Tuesday in an effort to keep inflation in check, but that sent stock prices down, with the Dow closing down 96 points. The Federal Open Market Committee hiked the benchmark federal funds rate another quarter point to 4.75%. It's the 15th consecutive quarter point hike since June of 2004 and brings interest rates to their highest level in 5 years. The Fed issued a statement at the close of its meeting saying more rate hikes might be needed to keep inflation down. President Bush will get a new chief aide next month. Bush announced that White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card will leave effective April 14th. He accepted Card's resignation this weekend. White House Budget Director Josh Bolton will replace Card. Police in Paris turned water cannons on demonstrators Tuesday after they threw rocks and bottles during a massive demonstration against a new labor law. 200,000 protesters took part in the demonstration, many of them taunting police in riot gear. A day-long general strike gripped the nation after transportation and other workers walked out. The protesters say the new labor law is unfair to young people because it allows employers to fire new workers within the first 2 years of employment. As debate continues in Washington, D.C. over immigration reform, a professor of Chicano studies at Cal State Northridge in Los Angeles says lawmakers need to recognize the importance of this issue on the nation's economy. Professor David Diaz says companies nationwide depend on the lower cost labor that some illegal workers provide.
Because employers are hiring them not just in the Southwest anymore, but Nebraska, Maine, Minnesota, Western Carolina, Idaho, all over the country. There's a vibrant demand for this labor.
Prosecutors in the Enron trial dropped a handful of charges against former executives Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling as they rested their case Tuesday. Prosecutors asked a federal judge in Houston to dismiss three charges against Skilling and one against Lay. Both men are charged with fraud and conspiracy in the financial collapse of Enron in 2001. Driving and maintaining a car probably costs more than most people think. Once you add up the cost of gas, repairs, insurance, and other expenses, the AAA estimates it costs the average household more than $7,800 a year to pay for the family car, based on 15,000 miles of driving. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
decided that we're really not together. For the love that's deep inside is now still the same. And the sound we make together is the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon us now.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Program note, don't forget, Monday, April 3rd, Air America Phoenix is back on the air, different radio station. But they did it. To the people out there who put this together, who decided that, no, the psychopathic Christian fundamentalists who decided to buy the station out from under Air America and sink tank the programming, and put some real good, another, what do they have now, 7 stations in Phoenix that talk about Jesus land. And the people in Phoenix reacted and said, no, if we have to do it ourselves, we'll do it ourselves. And they did it. And by the way, to certain, they shall remain unnamed, talk show hosts in the so-called liberal pantheon, but I'll give you his initials, Ed Schultz, to those people who said it couldn't be done, to hell with you, to hell with all of you. It can be done. You know, what are you folks? The progressive radio gatekeepers? Are you the ones that make the decision about what will and will not happen? Don't even try. So anyway, April 3rd, Monday coming. And I particularly like it because they'll be carrying this program. The radio station will be carrying this program live. Randy will be there. Majority Report will be there. Al will be there. The morning show is not going to be Jerry Springer. It's going to be Dr. Mike Newcomb, who is going to have the morning program. A hell of a good man. If you want to log on to I don't know, are they doing netcasting? I don't even know if they're linked or what. I know money was very tight. The most important thing was just to get up and running again, and to provide for the people of Phoenix, Arizona, and the surrounding area. An alternative voice to this nasty-ass right-wing religious freakoid Limbaugh Hannity garbage that just saturates this country. But anyway, to the so-called liberal talk show hosts who, you know, badmouth the whole idea, and there were a couple, three, you know, guess what? Let's do some phone calls here. We're going to do our reading from 1984 coming up in about half an hour. RB is calling from Saskatchewan, Canada. RB, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I was waiting for tonight, Showbiz Tonight on CNN. I was real excited because I heard that Ed Asner was going to be on. And Sander Hicks, a guy who's an investigative reporter who... interviewed this guy who said he knew that 9/11 was coming beforehand and all that.
Right.
And then the last minute was canceled, I guess, and 9/11 commissioner, unnamed, of course, was going to come on and counter their arguments, but he canceled the last minute, so they just canceled the whole segment instead of going ahead without him. Like, well, you know, they could have said, well, we asked him to come, but he decided not to show up. And
well, for mainstream media to toe dance around the official lies of the September 11th attack on this country is amazing to me. The fact that they canceled is not a surprise at all.
Well, it's amazing. Well, what's amazing is there's a big deal on Showbiz Tonight for like 3 nights last week, right?
Why is it on Showbiz? I mean,
well, that's the thing. That's the incredible irony of this. A.J. Hammer is the lead investigator. Where's Edward Murrow when you need him?
Yeah,
where's
really?
Edward Murrow did do entertainment stuff, too, to pay the bills. So maybe A.J. Hammer is the next Edward Murrow. But it was shut down tonight. He didn't even mention from the program start, they didn't mention nothing.
Well, I'm going to do some research because I've gotten several emails about how Charlie Sheen is wired into this, and this all happened, this all developed while Kathy and I were gone.
You can say Charlie Sheen and all that and everything else, but it's not just Charlie Sheen. I mean, there's official people, like former head of Star Wars and Air Force Colonel Bob Bowman, BYU physicist Steve Jones, former high-level Reagan appointee and prominent conservative Paul Craig Roberts has come out. So Morgan Reynolds, who's the labor economist, and, Ray McGovern, U.S. Congressman Dan Hamburg.
Yeah, what I meant, though, was somehow Sheen got involved in this. And
then everybody now is aware of it just because of the entertainment guy.
Right, but, exactly, exactly.
There are experts, there's video evidence and all this stuff. It's a complete blackout in the mainstream news. It's like they're complicit in it. And,
well, they are complicit in it. They're definitely complicit in it. If you remember back to the early days of the invasion, with so-called embedded reporters. If you remember the logos and the branding, and CNN tried to brand the war, Fox News tried to brand the war, MSNBC tried to brand it. This was great for the ratings. This was death and destruction on a scale not monumental, but enough to wave the flags. If you'll remember Fox, they had a graphic of a waving flag in the background.
Oh, they all did.
All these rat bastards started wearing American flags in their lapel pins.
But is it all about ratings? If it was about ratings, they were getting huge ratings with this 9/11 stuff, and they were getting on their poll 83% believing that the government was covering something up. I mean, and they were getting huge ratings.
Right.
And if Larry King wanted ratings, why doesn't he invite Muhammad Atta's former girlfriend on? Would that be a great ratings bump? Never
happened, because the war in Iraq, there's a direct link in the fantasies of the Bush crime family and the media that allowed it to happen, a direct link between the attack on Iraq and 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So if television gets out there, it gets out in front now and says, oh, well, guess what we've discovered? What does that do? It makes every last one of them look like the lion whores that they were.
But it's coming out.
I hope it does. If it does come out, it'll come out on cable. It'll come out on Keith Olbermann's program first, or someplace like that. It's not going to be on Larry King until it's safe for Larry King to do it.
I mean, they're almost betraying themselves by doing this. I mean, first they couldn't stop it on Showbiz Tonight because Charlie Sheen came out of nowhere, and AJ Hammer is this young guy who's not hooked up with the machine, so they didn't know how to actually tell him. So they got to run this little scam by him. I don't know, Mike, it's coming out, it's everywhere. The German defense minister has come out, and a lot of people up here in Canada, like a University of Toronto physics professor came out and showed a demonstration, computer model, says there's a free fall, 10 seconds, the only way to do it is demolition. You can't pancake down, it would take a minute and a half to pancake down.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not fall exactly into its own footprints. And all three, including World Trade Center 7, which wasn't even touched by a plane, but they say flying debris magically floated two blocks away and started a massive fire that they had to pull the building. And why was it pulled in the first place? And if it's pulled, doesn't that mean it was set up to demolish? And when did they do that? And then you look at what was housed in World Trade Center 7, including all of Halliburton's asbestos records, you start wondering, okay, come on now.
Well, I hear you loud and clear, RB, and as you know, with me, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
But remember the magic single bullet theory of the assassination of Kennedy and the wounding of Governor Connally.
Mm-hmm.
In order for the bullet, the magic bullet, the one that did a U-turn and went through arms and legs and
fell out of JFK's body,
right,
and
an armrest and a mirror and a partridge and a pear tree, the American public And the establishment class in this country has accepted this at face value, even though back in the, what was it, the early 90s or the late 80s, a commission was put together in Congress to reopen the assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And they concluded that more than likely there was more than one shooter and more than three bullets.
And they concluded there was likely a conspiracy.
Right, exactly.
They didn't say who. But then also just declassified, it just got declassified that the CIA ran an active discrediting campaign of anybody who tried to do the research into that.
All right, well, given what you know about the assassination of John Kennedy 42 years ago, 43 years ago, how long do you think it's going to take, RB, for the American public or any public anywhere to understand that the Bush administration was complicit in an attack on its own country?
They didn't have the Internet then. I tell you right now that a growing majority of the population of the United States is starting to learn the truth. It's happening like a groundswell. Once Charlie Sheen comes out, that means, you know, 2 or 3, 4 million people a week tune into a show. They'll hear about this. They'll look it up. He'll say check the evidence. They'll check the evidence. They'll go, whoa, what's going on?
Well, let's
maybe
hope
they'll
that
stop.
Happens.
Maybe they'll stop raving for a few months to actually organize and do something.
I'm right there with you, RB. Let's hope it happens.
Okay.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
Bye.
Take care. Quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
stop this car. Baby, get in. He didn't stop driving till he had a 40-mile bend. I took the back seat out. I put it on the ground. No need to tell you what it was put down. Don't stop me talking. I'll tell you everything I know.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
living up to the flying monkey ride. It's more of Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. Gene is calling from New York. Gene, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, Gene, I'm doing fine.
Well, I'll tell you, you're one of the very few people who over the years has been able to put the little threads together when certain stories kind of connect. And reading the internet and even reading a few of the old dead tree newspapers, there's something interesting going on in the White House that nobody seems to have put together. But if you look at the three big signs of importance, there's something going on here. The first one is this consolidation behind Dear Leader, with Josh Bolton being
right.
The new promoted guy who is just a Bush loyalist to the max, and the Republican National Committee threatening members of their own party to get behind Dear Leader or there will be hell to pay. Sign important number two are that the stories, the insider stories, especially on the internet about friction between Dear Leader and Cheney, are on the uptick, and the situation apparently is getting worse. But the third thing has been, of course, completely ignored by the so-called legitimate media, and that was a story on both Raw Story and Truthout, which apparently has Karl Rove having provided Pat Fitzgerald with access to a bunch of the emails in the Mallory Plain matter that tend to stick a big kick me sign on the back of Dick Cheney.
Uh-huh.
So what this is saying to me is that the White House, or Karl Rove, is out to basically get rid of Dick Cheney before, and this is the way they're thinking, before the Democrats take back both houses of Congress, because Cheney would be a bigger target for indictment or impeachment than Dear Leader because of, number one, this secret energy cabal that he put together, number two, the cover-up for the shotgun accident, and believe me, if you're obstruction of justice is something that Republicans can be forced by the majority Democrats not to take lightly, hey, when Clinton did it, you didn't like obstruction of justice. How can,
right.
Okay,
right.
And of course, there's that matter of Valerie Plame. Now, here is their nightmare. Here is the way they see it. Bush, you know, if Cheney is indicted or impeached and convicted, as could happen, that means Bush has to replace him, but Congress has to approve him. And I want you to picture Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and House Speaker Barney Frank demanding a meeting with Dear Leader to tell him that they have prepared a list of acceptable vice presidential nominees that they feel Congress could confirm. And that list consists of two names, Albert S. Gore, Jr. and John Edwards. Can you say checkmate?
That's a great scenario, Gene. Jesus. All the more reason to get people like Nancy Skinner elected to the Congress. Oh, my God.
Damn right. I'll tell you, I love that interview with her. You've got to have her back again, and she's got my support now.
Yeah, and all of these candidates we've had on here, Steve Sinton here in Georgia's 4th, who else has been, Kathy? Well, you know, just a bunch of, it's got to be done. And this is what I've been talking about. I love your scenario, by the way. I think it's great. You ought to be a writer. You probably are a writer, right?
Well, actually, yes, I am.
Yeah, I figured. You know, it sounds like a plot to a very good readable novel. I think it's wonderful. But that's a great scenario. And but what we've been talking about on this program, and I know you probably agree, there's no reason supporting some of these national Democrats. I mean, even, you know, not even, but my one of the few people in media that I respect, Molly Ivins, has just broken completely with what she calls the Washington Democrats. We've got to support these individual candidates directly. You know, to hell with money to the DNC. I say absolutely no, not a dime.
Well, it's certain Senate Democrats that really bug the hell out of me. These are the worst kind, the ones that our main man Bart Kopp has deemed the pink tutu Democrats.
The pink tutu Democrats. Oh, I could just smack them all across the ass.
Yeah, and this problem, from what I'm seeing, is not restricted to the Senate, but a lot of it is there. And it's these Senate Democrats who think that they control the party when, in fact, they don't. It is the grassroots and the netroots that are taking control and Howard Dean, for all his faults, I think, is more on our side than on the side of certain, you know, self-sabotaging so-called Democrats in name only.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, it's an excellent scenario, Gene. Thanks for sharing it with us. I love it.
You're welcome. And we got to fight for it, though.
Okay, when your novel comes out, let me know. We'll have you on as a guest and talk about it.
Love to, Mike. Take care.
All right, you too. Take care. That's great. I love that scenario, Kathy. I really do. Imagine walking. That would be one way to get George Bush out of office. Walk in, you know, Barney Frank and Harry Reid walk in and say, okay, here are your two choices for vice president. At that point, George Bush would pee his pants. That'd be the first thing. He would just pee his pants, and then he would stomp his feet and he'd get on the phone and call his mom and say, Mom, send the limo. I'm out of here.
His mom had just pushed the button.
Oh, that's true, too. Just like yesterday, and I'll get all my needs to say. We don't get fooled again.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the civil rights movement. And now we're trying to develop a silver rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
We'll be right back.
We're in part two, chapter seven, or if you tell time the other way, we are in where are we, Kathy, in this novel? Chapter 15. George Orwell's 1984. In our last reading, Winston Smith had been having a dream about when he was a kid. He's in bed with Julia, and she's asleep, he's asleep, and he has a dream about when he was a kid. Being a selfish little bastard, apparently, that he was, he insisted when there was a chocolate ration that his mother give him the larger of the two portions, even though his little sister was obviously starving to death. And the mother had given Winston the larger piece of chocolate. And Winston, that wasn't enough. He snatched that piece and the piece out of his little sister's hand and ran out the door. And he never saw his mother or his sister again. And at that point, let's pick up the narrative. When the last of the chocolate was gone, his mother had clasped the child in her arms. It was no use. It changed nothing. It did not produce more chocolate. It did not avert the child's death or her own. But it seemed natural for her to do it. The refugee woman in the boat had also covered the little boy with her arm, which was of no more use against the bullets than a sheet of paper. The terrible thing that the party had done was to persuade you that mere impulses, mere feelings were of no account, while at the same time robbing you of all power over the material world. When once you were in the grip of the party, what you felt or did not feel, what you did or refrained from doing, made literally no difference. Whatever happened, you vanished, and neither you nor your actions were ever heard of again. You were lifted clean out of the stream of history, and yet to the people of only two generations ago, this would not have seemed all-important because they were not attempting to alter history. They were governed by private loyalties, which they did not question. What mattered were individual relationships, and a completely helpless gesture, an embrace, a tear, a word spoken to a dying man could have value in itself. The proles, it suddenly occurred to him, had remained in this condition. They were not loyal to a party or a country or an idea. They were loyal to one another. For the first time in his life, he did not despise the proles or think of them merely as an inert force which would one day spring to life and regenerate the world. The proles had stayed human. They had not become hardened inside. They had held on to the primitive emotions which he himself had to relearn by conscious effort. And in thinking this, he remembered, without apparent relevance, how a few weeks ago he had seen a severed hand lying on the pavement and had kicked it into the gutter as though it had been a cabbage stalk. "The proles are human beings," he said aloud. "We are not human."
"Why not?"
said Julia, who had woken up again. He thought for a little while. "Has it ever occurred to you," he said, "that the best thing for us to do would be simply walk out of here before it's too late and never see each other again?"
"Well, yes, dear, it's occurred to me several times, but I'm not going to do it all the same."
"We've been lucky," he said, "but it can't last much longer. You're young, you look normal and innocent. If you keep clear of people like me, you might stay alive for another 50 years.
"No, I've thought it all out. What you do, I'm going to do. And don't be too downhearted. I'm rather good at staying alive."
"We may be together for another 6 months, a year. There's no knowing. At the end, we're certain to be apart. Do you realize how utterly alone we shall be? When once they get hold of us, there will be nothing, literally nothing, that either of us can do for the other. If I confess, they'll shoot you. And if I refuse to confess, they'll shoot you just the same. Nothing that I can do or say or stop myself from saying will put off your death for as much as 5 minutes. Neither of us will even know whether the other is alive or dead. We shall be utterly without power of any kind. The one thing that matters is that we shouldn't betray one another, although even that can't make the slightest difference."
"If you mean confessing,"
she said,
"we shall do that right enough. Everybody always confesses. You can't help it. They torture you."
I don't mean confessing. Confession is not betrayal. What you say or do doesn't matter. Only feelings matter. If they could make me stop loving you, that would be the real betrayal." She thought it over.
"They can't do that,"
she said finally.
"It's the one thing they can't do. They can make you say anything, anything. But they can't make you believe it. They can't get inside you.
No, he said a little more hopefully. No, that's quite true. They can't get inside you. If you can feel that staying human is worthwhile, even when it can't have any result whatever, you've beaten them. He thought of the telescreen with its never-sleeping ear. They could spy upon you night and day, but if you kept your head, you could still outwit them. With all their cleverness, they had never mastered the secret of finding out what another human being was thinking. Perhaps that was less true when you were actually in their hands. One did not know what happened inside the Ministry of Love. But it was possible to guess. Tortures, drugs, delicate instruments that registered your nervous reactions, gradual wearing down by sleeplessness and solitude and persistent questioning. Facts, at any rate, could not be kept hidden. They could be tracked down by inquiry. They could be squeezed out of you by torture. But if the object was not to stay alive but to stay human, what difference did it ultimately make? They could not alter your feelings. For that matter, you could not alter them yourself, even if you wanted to. They could lay bare in the utmost detail everything you had done or said or thought, but the inner heart, whose workings were mysterious even to yourself, remained impregnable. Chapter 16. They had done it. They had done it at last. The room they were standing in was long-shaped and softly lit. The telescreen was dimmed to a low murmur. The richness of the dark blue carpet gave one the impression of treading on velvet. At the far end of the room, O'Brien was sitting at a table under a green-shaded lamp with a mass of papers on either side of him. He had not bothered to look up when the servant showed Julia and Winston in. Winston's heart was thumping so hard that he doubted whether he would be able to speak. They had done it. They had done it at last, was all he could think. It had been a rash act to come here at all, and sheer folly to arrive together, though it was true that they had come by different routes and only met on O'Brien's doorstep. But merely to walk into such a place needed an effort of the nerve. It was only on very rare occasions that one saw inside the dwelling places of the inner party, or even penetrated into the quarter of town where they lived. The whole atmosphere of the huge block of flats, the richness and spaciousness of everything, the unfamiliar smells of good food and good tobacco, the silent and incredibly rapid lifts sliding up and down, the white jacketed servants hurrying to and fro, everything was intimidating. Although he had a good pretext for coming here, he was haunted at every step by the fear that a black uniformed guard would suddenly appear from round the corner, demand his papers, and order him to get out. O'Brien's servant, however, had admitted the two of them without demur. He was a small, dark-haired man in a white jacket, with a diamond-shaped, completely expressionless face, which might have been that of a Chinese. The passage down which he led them was softly carpeted, with cream-papered walls and white wainscoting, all exquisitely clean. That, too, was intimidating. Winston could not remember ever to have seen a passageway whose walls were not grimy from the contact of human bodies. O'Brien had a slip of paper between his fingers and seemed to be studying it intently. His heavy face, bent down so that one could see the line of his nose, looked both formidable and intelligent. For perhaps 20 seconds he sat without stirring. Then he pulled the speak right toward him and rapped out a message in the hybrid jargon of the ministries. Items 1, 5, 7 approved, full wise stop, suggestion contained, item 6 double plus ridiculous, verging crime thank, cancel, stop, unproceed, construction wise, anti getting plus full estimates, machinery overhead, stop, and message. He rose deliberately from his chair and came toward them across the soundless carpet. A little of the official atmosphere seemed to have fallen away from him with the newspeak words, but his expression was grimmer than usual, as though he were not pleased at being disturbed. The terror that Winston already felt was suddenly shot through by a streak of ordinary embarrassment. It seemed to him quite possible that he had simply made a stupid mistake. For what evidence had he in reality that O'Brien was any kind of a political conspirator? Nothing but a flash of the eyes and a single equivocal remark. Beyond that, only his own secret imaginings, founded on a dream. He could not even fall back on the pretense that he had come to borrow the dictionary, because in that case, Julia's presence was impossible to explain. As O'Brien passed the telescreen, a thought seemed to strike him. He stopped, turned aside, and pressed a switch on the wall. There was a sharp snap. The voice had stopped. Julia uttered a tiny sound, a sort of squeak of surprise. Even in the midst of his panic, Winston was too much taken aback to be able to hold his tongue. "You can turn it off?" he said. "Yes," said O'Brien. "We can turn it off. We have that privilege." He was opposite them now. His solid form towered over the pair of them, and the expression on his face was still indecipherable. He was waiting somewhat sternly for Winston to speak. But about what?
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, once again, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, who engineered the program in New York City, D. Neal, our associate producer, who also handles the calls, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Nancy Skinner, go to her website, please. Make a contribution. Remember what we're doing here. We are trying to elect Democrats. And if the Democratic National Committee wants to get behind our candidates, fine. But we make the contributions directly, specifically, to certain candidates. And this program, if it matters worth a damn, it shouldn't. But if it does, I strongly recommend Nancy Skinner. SkinnerForCongress.com. Check it out. Somebody sent me an email, Kathy. It said, I just contributed $20. Because I believe in what she's got her website, also because she's a babe. Oh, my God. Okay. Whatever it takes.
Well, she's probably better looking than the 73-year-old incumbent who loads fruit into his car or whatever.
Yeah, but frankly, she'd probably be one of the more attractive members of the United States House of Representatives.
She has a cute dog, too.
Yeah, the Dalmatian. How many times did we feel when we lived in Chicago and hung out with Nancy and her crew that that dog was going to... I always had a feeling that dog was just around the verge of going for my throat, a Dalmatian.
He was very protective of Nancy.
Oh, my God. Millie is calling from Los Angeles. Millie, welcome to the program. I think you've set a record for holding on the phone.
Oh, well, there you go. Good evening. So I want to find out, has anyone ever heard from Marge? How's she doing?
Haven't heard from Marge for a couple of weeks now, have we, Kathy?
Yeah, miss her.
I think she called in when Peter was here, come to think of it.
Okay, well, anyway, my point, I live in L.A., and so I've been watching these demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about these young people coming out of the high schools. And also a little bit jealous because I go to these anti-war demonstrations and...
Oh, God, I hear you, Millie. I mentioned this last night. And again tonight, you can get a half million here and 300,000 there and 800,000 there and 50,000 there.
Start that up.
Protesting these potential policies by the Bush crime family where it concerns immigrant labor. And folks like you and me, we can go to demonstrations. There might be 50 people there.
Yeah, you know what? And they kept to one topic. I had to pull teeth to get three of my friends to go to this last anti-war demonstration on Saturday for the third anniversary.
Right.
And, you know, the four of us carried a coffin, and I had to drag them and really convince them there was something good to do. And meanwhile, turn around, and then they were upset because they were talking about everything on the planet. And then, oh, by the way, yeah, the war.
I know. That's very, very off-putting to me, too. I understand. You know, that's one of the problems with the political left in this country. It is so unorganized.
Exactly.
It's all over the place. Yes, there are hundreds of issues that need to be addressed. But the first one is to stop this war and get this evil son of a bitch out of office.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, with my union, when this disaster happened, 12 miners died. I was so angry. I go to the next meeting. I'm bringing the stuff up. We have to vote in Democrats. And everyone's afraid to lose their gun rights. They're afraid about, like, such insignificant things, and they don't worry about their livelihood.
Well, where did this come about that Democrats would take away guns? Jesus, Al Gore was a member of the NRA. I was a member of the NRA. Bill Clinton was a member. I'm not trying to put myself in their category, but you know, I own more guns than the average person not in Georgia. Never mind. I take the statement back. But where did this come? I don't get that. I don't get that because Democrats have occasionally proposed responsible gun legislation. These right-wingers say, they're going to register your guns, come and get them. The only people who are ever going to try to make a gun grab in this country are conservatives.
That's right, fascists.
It's just unreal.
Another thing is I love you ranting, you raving, you yelling, because I have to work with Republicans, at a union job, and they don't call me Mad Dog for nothing.
Mad Dog Millie?
Mad Dog Millie.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I never heard the name Millie and the term Mad Dog in the same sentence.
Well, you haven't worked with me.
That's true. I haven't, and there's a reason for that, Millie. The word.
Yeah,
went out.
My religion is work. I'm really into my Zen meditation when I'm working.
Yeah.
And you had some really great callers on tonight, but my life is my work. My work is my life, and I enjoy it. And I want to keep my wages up, and I want to keep my conditions up. And whatever it takes. And if we have to take an example from these immigrants coming to this country, let us do it, because that is how the union started, with immigrants fighting and busting heads in Chicago and cities across this country.
That's right. Absolutely.
Organize. Keep on the topic. Keep strong. And don't lose sight of the goal.
I won't. Thanks, Millie. Thanks for
All
checking
right.
in. Take care.
Hey, take care. Good night.
All right. God, I love Millie. Don't you love Millie? Huh? What a nice way to end the program tonight. Thanks for participating, however you did that. I do appreciate it. Do we have any, we don't have any guests, no announcements for tomorrow night? This is the guestless program.
We'll probably take lots of calls tomorrow.
Okay, let's do that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
Hank Montenegro of Morganville, New Jersey wrote, "Dear Mr. Oreck, ever since we purchased your 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum, my wife has been in heaven. Recently, she panicked, believing she'd broken the vacuum. I contacted your customer service department, and after a few questions, I was sent a replacement part at no charge. The machine is as good as new. Try my 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess. Just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.